Amen. Just remain standing if you will. Appreciate that song. Amen. While you're getting ready, if you want to turn in your Bible to Psalms chapter number 18. And while you're turning there, I've got a book here that I'm advertising. I'm not trying to sell it and make money on it. This is called In God's School. It's by T.S. Rendall. I'm not exactly sure how you pronounce his name. Tremendous book. And dealing with the problems of life and how that God teaches us through the problems that He allows us to go through in our life. And part of the reason that I mentioned that, I'm going to be reading a poem. He's got some poems in there in his book before each chapter. I'm going to be reading one of those poems tonight in my message. But also, I wanted to mention it because during the marathon, Brother Steve asked me about possibly ordering some. I bought one of these for Joshua when I knew that he was going through that. Thank you, Brother. When I knew that there was questions and concerns there, I bought one for him and had it sent to him, or I actually gave it to him when he was here, didn't I? And then I bought one for my dad and just sent it to him. His birthday is this Saturday, and so we put it in the mail this week. And I mentioned it to him. The camp meeting that they have in Kansas, they buy cases of books every year before their camp meeting, and they give each preacher a book. That's just something they do through the camp meeting. I asked him, had they chosen their book this year? It's in April. He said no. And I said, can I recommend one? I recommended this book. And I read him the chapter headings, and he said, I got to have it. Amen. When I just read him the chapter headings, it's a tremendous book. But anyway, the reason I'm saying is the ones I bought, I paid $30 and a little change for two of them. And when Brother Steve was mentioned, he'd like to have one because he took and read this one. He's one that actually got me interested in reading it. He is salivating over it so much, coming in every morning telling me what a blessing it was. Made me want to read it. Anyway, he said he'd like to have one, and I got thinking a lot of people would like to have one. So we ordered a case of them. And in doing that, we get a discount, and we got them for... I've forgotten out exactly, but with the shipping and everything, it's about $8.80 a piece rather than $15 with the way that turned out being. And so we got them back there. If you like one, if you can see Brother Steve, he knows where they're at. They're in my office, and he get with him and get you one for an offering of $9. That's just a good round figure, and that'll help us. And also get it and use it. If you'll get them, I believe it'll be a blessing. I really do. If you'll get it and read it. Now, I found out about a lot of books. I've got a lot of real good books that I haven't read. And they haven't helped me a whole lot. It's like your Bible. It's a mighty good book, but it only helps if you read it. Amen. And so I encourage you to read the book, all right? And I'm not going to be long tonight. I've just got a thought on my heart. And I know that gets dangerous, but I seriously don't think I'll be long. I do just have a thought, and I want to give it to you, and then we'll move on from there. All right. Psalm chapter number 18. I'm reading one verse, verse number 30. Psalm chapter 18 and verse number 30. The Bible says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is like a buckler. Or He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. I want to read that again. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. I want to try to preach tonight on the thought, as for God, His way is perfect. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege to be in the house of God tonight. The privilege to have gathered around the altar and prayed, Lord, lifted up our voices, telling each other our request, and then telling You, Lord, our request. What a blessing. Lord, to be able to sing the songs of Zion, those old songs like At the Cross or At Calvary, Lord, those songs that stir our heart, that remind us, Lord, of the great price You paid for us. Lord, I want to thank You for those good songs and the fellowship among the saints that we have. Lord, I know our numbers smaller tonight. We've got some probably that are sick, some that might have been afraid to travel, afraid of what might be coming as far as weather is concerned. But Lord, I want to thank You for these that are here. Lord, I pray You'd feed our hungry souls. Lord, that You might meet with us. And Lord, in just a few moments of fellowshipping with You, You can meet a lot of our needs. And so, Father, I pray You'd do that tonight. Lord, that You might see fit to draw some sinner and save them. And that Your name might be uplifted and glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. In this verse, I prepared a sermon to preach that I thought I probably would preach tonight, and then went home this afternoon and got to studying, looking at this verse, and I felt like God said, this is not for later. Amen. This is for now. And be honest with you, I studied it, thinking about the situation with our son back home and things such as that. And I'm not going to elaborate on that in this. This is not for him. He won't hear this unless he was to get a tape later or something along those lines. That's not my purpose for preaching. But as I got to thinking about it, sometimes we don't understand how God's leading. But as long as we'll just follow and allow Him to lead, His way is perfect. Amen. And so I thought on that phrase, and that's the thought that came to my mind, and I just looked at it and pulled out some other scriptures, and just three little thoughts that I'll give you tonight that I hope will help us realize, if you've not realized it, or maybe just remind us, you can trust God with your life. Amen. You can trust God with your life. Now, in Psalm 18, the psalmist, it says before verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. So David has walked with God. You know that David, in writing of the Psalms, there's a span of his lifetime involved in these Psalms. And I believe that when Psalm 18 comes along, that the psalmist David has been through some storms. He has encountered some things in his life and in his walk with God as from a child all the way up to the time of this writing. He is fleeing from the hand of Saul in the header of this chapter. And so David has walked with the Lord. He's followed the Lord through many valleys. He's followed the Lord through many dark nights. And he's seen some troubles and some trials in his life. And now he's looking back over the way he's come. And he's given his assessment of the route that God has brought him. Now, I want to remind you, he's not on the throne in Psalm chapter 18. He's not made it to the throne yet. He did make it close to the throne. He made it in there to play music for Saul. He made it when the people had declared Saul slain his thousands and David his 10,000. So he saw that height of praise of the people. But yet he did not make it on the throne because Saul was not relinquishing the throne. Even though God had written Saul off, God had already anointed David as the next king of Israel. David was not on the throne. And yet, looking back over the trail, realizing he's not yet gotten where he knows he's supposed to be, yet he knows God's way is perfect. Amen. He had endured various troubles and trials, and as he looks back down the way, he gives his verdict, and his verdict is this, verse 30, as for God. Now, he didn't say, as for me. He didn't say, as for Saul. Amen. But he said, as for God, His way is perfect. Amen. Three things by way of introduction, then I'll give you my 3 points, three simple things. Number one, there is a magnificent preface right here. He recognizes who is leading him. Amen. He says, as for God. Amen. He stands here in this verse. David is standing up for God. He's standing up in God's defense. And he's saying as if, I imagine, you know how David's men were. They loved David and they wanted David to succeed. Matter of fact, if you remember the time David had two opportunities to slay Saul. Two different opportunities. One time Saul came in a cave. Another time Saul was laying out there in the field, probably in a ditch, asleep. And David could have very easily killed him either of those times. One time, David went up there and was getting ready to do it when he's in the cave and cut a piece of Saul's skirt off. And his men was encouraging him, go ahead, David, go ahead. And I imagine at this time, some of those men were saying, David, you ought to be on the throne. David said, as for God, His way is perfect. Amen. David was saying, I may not be where I'm supposed to be yet, but I'm headed in the right direction. I know who I'm trusting, and I'll just keep trusting Him until He puts me where I'm supposed to be. Amen.
Amen. David was telling his people, and I believe he's telling himself, he's telling all those that would listen, that as for God, His way is perfect. He's speaking in defense of God. It's as if he's saying, I have tried His way, I have tested His way, and now I can testify of its value. Amen. It's a good way. That's what he's saying. Amen. I remember hearing a story about a lady, a little old lady that had her Bible. And one day she was in the hospital and she asked her daughter to bring her Bible to her. And her daughter went and got her Bible at her house. And when she picked it up, she noticed in a place where her mother had been reading. And she saw that out beside a lot of verses, there was initials. And a lot of verses would have TP beside of it. And she took her Bible to her mother. She said, Mother, I know you're a Bible reader. I know you love your Bible. And I understand that you study your Bible, but I don't know what those initials mean. Why do you have TP out there? She said, Honey, those are the promises of God. And she said, Every one of those that's got a T and a P beside of it, that stands for tried and proved. Amen. Amen. I'm glad God's Word will stand and we can trust God with our life. Amen. So there's the magnificent preface. Then secondly, there's the magnificent path. He said, As for God, His way is perfect. Amen. The path that God leads us. Now there's twofold idea of God's path. That is, the way. We could be talking about the way to God, the way that men can go to God, or the way that men can walk with God. And by the way, there's only one way, and that's Jesus. Amen? He's the only way to God. And people say they walk with God, but they got to come through Jesus, or else they're not really walking with God. Amen? Amen. He's the only way. But I don't believe that's what it's talking about here when it says, as for God, His way is perfect. I don't believe it's just saying Jesus is perfect. His plan of salvation is perfect, though all that's true. The psalmist is talking about His way in my life. He's talking about the way He's brought me, the way that He's guiding me, leading me, the way He's in control of things. He's saying His way is perfect. And that way that he's talking about are the providences of God. That is, the way God leads us, the dealings of God with His people. Amen. He's saying that way is perfect. So there's a magnificent preface and a magnificent path. And number three, there's a magnificent perfection. As for God, His way is perfect. There is no flaw in God's way. No flaws in God's works. Amen. Even when His ways are seemingly hard to us, His way is perfect. Amen. Study it out the best you can. You can never find fault with God's way. Amen. They are faultless. They are perfect. Amen. Amen. You know, when Pilate scrutinized our Lord, he said, I find in Him no fault at all. Amen. Another time he said, I find no fault in Him. Amen. And the word fault, our Lord was not only sinless, He was faultless. A fault is not necessarily a sin. It's not a big failure. A fault is just a little crack. Amen. They're talking about fault lines in the earth. They're just cracks in the earth's surface. I'm telling you, there's no cracks in our rock. Amen. Not only no sin, no division, there's no cracks in Him. He is faultless, and God's way is faultless. Sometimes we don't understand that, but I'm saying, as the psalmist said, His way is perfect. Amen. Amen. Let me give you the three things that I thought about His way being perfect. These words of the psalmist teach us a doctrine. And here's the doctrine. I wrote this out as a quote. Here's the doctrine. All the ways of God and the dispensations of His providence are altogether perfect and faultless, no matter how they might appear to our carnal mind and our carnal eye. Amen. All the ways of God and the dispensations of His providence are altogether perfect and faultless, no matter how they might appear to our carnal mind and eye. Amen. Now, first of all, I want to talk about the seeming faults. Sometimes God leads us in a way and we say, Why, Lord? Why are You leading me in this direction? Why does it have to be this way in my life? Did you know other people can put you in a valley? It's not always your fault that you're in the valley. Right. Amen. Many times other people get you there. And you go all through the Bible. Look at Joseph. Joseph's a perfect example of that. Joseph, you can't find fault in Joseph's life from one end to the other. Amen. But his brethren hated him and they threw him in a pit. Amen. Potiphar's wife lusted after him and she caused him to go to prison. Amen. The butler and the baker, they forgot about him. Left him in there to rot. Amen. Wasn't his fault. Wasn't his fault that he's there. Wasn't his fault that he's even in Egypt. It was sometimes the faults of others. But here's what he said. He said to his brothers when it was all said and done, and he looked back at it, he said, I'm not going to blame him. I'm not going to blame him. I'm not going to blame her. I'm not going to blame others. God was in control from start to finish, and God meant it for good. That's what he said. Amen. In other words, he said, your ways may be evil, her ways may be evil, but God's ways are perfect. Amen. Amen. And sometimes we seem to find fault with God's ways. Sometimes the reasons behind God's actions are unseen. Sometimes the reasons behind God's allowances are unseen. He lets things happen in our life. Amen. And they're unseen, not easily discerned or discovered. If you're in Psalm 18, turn over just a few pages to Psalm 77. There's a verse I want you to notice in Psalm 77 as well. Sometimes we just cannot see why we're in this trial. Amen. Sometimes it seems unreasonable to us. No reason to our mind. All right. Psalm 77, verse number 19. The Bible says, thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters. And here's what I underline. And thy footsteps are not known. He said, Lord, the way you're going, I can't see how you're going. He's almost like Job was when Job said, I look to my right, I look to my left, I look behind me, I look out in front of me, I can see where he's working, but I don't know, I know what he's doing, but I don't know where he's at. Amen. And Job said, he knows the way I take. Amen. In other words, Job is going to follow God. And Job said, and he knoweth the way that I take. And how's it going? How's the rest of the verse going? Somebody help me. And when I'm trying, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. The idea that I have in that, in my thought, is Job did not say, when I get done with all this, God's going to say, boy, you was gold all along. But he said, I may not be gold now, but when he gets done with me, I'll be gold. Amen. Amen. So sometimes there seems to be faults. The faults are just the fact that we can't see the reason. Amen. There may be times when the Lord is leading, but we don't know where he's leading us. Amen. And our own will scream out sometimes and say that God should tell us where we're headed, or God should show us where we're headed, or else we should withdraw our hand and say, I'm not walking any longer with you. Can I say this? In the case when you don't see how God's going, the fault is not in God. The fault is in our eye. Amen. Sometimes God hides things even from his men. I was thinking about it just this week, that when that Shunammite woman, and she'd had that child, it was a miracle child, then the child got sick, you remember that? Climbed upon his mother's lap, and passed away, and she came running to him, and when his servant went out, he said, what's wrong? And Elisha said, the Lord hath hidden it from me. Amen. Sometimes God does not always reveal his hand. Amen. Sometimes he works in the shadows. As a matter of fact, I'll have to say that most of the time it seems like when God works, it's in the dark. Amen. Seems like he works in the dark and then he lets the sun come up and show us what he did. Amen. Amen. And I could use all kinds of verses and illustrations of how he does that. But I'm just simply saying, sometimes it seems unreasonable to us. But can I tell you, God does not have to reveal to us his plan. God does not have to reveal to us his reasoning. Amen. I believe farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Amen. There may come a day when he'll tell us why, or else there'll come a day when we won't care why. Amen. 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 I remember hearing that the story. Matter of fact, I heard him say it. Brother Dean Shook wrote that song, It's Been Worth Every Mile. Brother Shook had brain tumors. And Brother Shook said that he was in his father's church. Brother Jack Shook's his dad. He was in his father's church sometime just prior to his passing away. And I heard him tell this just months before he passed away. He said he was in that church and they'd ask him to sing, and he said that one of the deacons came to him after the service was over and said, Brother Shook, he knew he was dying. He knew that the time was short and that it's time for him to go. And the deacon came to him and said, just think, Brother Shook, just in a few days, you'll see God and you'll be able to ask him why. And Brother Shook said, when I see God, I won't care why. Amen. I believe that's right. Some of these former things, matter of fact, all of these former things will be passed away. Amen. And so it won't matter why anymore. Amen. Amen. About a whole lot of that. Well, I'll say that when we don't see the way, the fault's not with God. The fault's not in God's way. The fault's with our eyes. We have human eyes and we can't see like God does. Our mind cannot comprehend what God comprehends. His thoughts are high above our thoughts. His ways are high above our ways, and we don't always understand them, nor do we have to. Amen. Amen. Our job is not to figure it out. Our job is to trust God, live by faith. Amen. That's right. Can you imagine Adam when God said that it's not good for man to be alone, and Adam stood around and chewed his fingernails with a quick wonder how in the world God's going to make a woman? I mean, it's hard enough to make everything else and then make a woman on top of it. How's he going to do it? God said, just go to sleep, Adam. Amen. Amen. That's good advice, by the way. When you get worried, just go to sleep. Amen. God take care of it. Amen. Well, I know it's easier said than done. I know that. I know that. Adam trusted God. God brought it to pass. I'm just simply saying we can trust God in our life. There are times when we don't understand. There may be times when God's leading seems to be going against some promises that He's made us. Amen. In other words, sometimes we feel like God has made His promises. God has made plans. Look at David. God had him headed towards the palace, but he was now not headed towards the palace. He's hiding in caves. He's running for his life. And yet the psalmist said his way is perfect. Maybe I don't understand it, but I know I can trust Him. Amen. You think about Abraham. God told Abraham He's going to give him a seed. In his old age, God said, I'm going to give you a son, and from that son, He said, I'm going to give his son, the idea that the promise was going to come, and that Abraham, that his seed would be as the sands of the sea, and as the stars of the sky, innumerable was what He was saying. There's going to be a mass multitude, but He said, in you, He said, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And so He's talking about the Messiah, and so they have that little baby boy, and I see Abraham and Sarah oohing and aahing over Isaac, and boy, they're so excited about Isaac, and they're bragging on Isaac, and then the day comes that God said, put him on the altar.
Amen. Right, amen.
I can imagine Abraham scratching his head and saying, now, wait a minute, God. You made me a promise. How's this going to come about? I don't know that he did. I don't know if Abraham staggered in his faith. I'm not trying to accuse him of that. I know this. Abraham had more faith than I would have, I think. Amen. Abraham went out there like he's supposed to, walked up that mountain like he's supposed to, trusted God like he's supposed to, took the knife out, and was ready to slay his son. I personally believe that he believed God would raise him from the dead. Amen. Because he said by faith to those servants down there, he said, y'all stay with the donkeys, y'all stay with the stuff down here, me and the lads going up yonder and worship, and me and the lads coming back. Amen. Amen. He had some confidence somehow God's going to raise that boy up. Amen. But here's where I'm saying, sometimes we don't understand it, and the way God's leading us this time may look like that it's headed away from where we thought we were supposed to be headed. Amen. Amen. Well, although Abraham might not have understood, he could trust God's heart and he could trust God's word. Amen. There may be times when we feel that the path that God has led us in is not headed in the right direction at all. You ever felt that way? Lord, this is not what I signed up for. Maybe you said that. Lord, I don't know. This don't seem like this is headed in the right direction at all. Here's where I'm going to what was said in this book in the second chapter. First chapter titled In God's School. In the second chapter, it's called The Discipline of Detour. And he uses Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. If you will turn, we'll look at that together. Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. And this is when it seems like God leads you in a way that's not the straight path to where you thought you was headed, the promised land. Exodus 13, verse 17 and 18. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them. You might want to underline those words. God led them. Not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. You know, shortest distance between two points is a straight line. But God didn't allow them to go through the straight line. He took them roundabout. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about. That word about has the idea of a winding, a circumventing way. All right? God led them about, if I'm a place, through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Amen. Other words, God was leading them. They thought from Egypt to Canaan land, all right, here's how we're going to go. And God said, but don't go that way. I want you to go around this way. And He had them go round about, which was a longer journey, it looked like out of the way to go. And yet God had a purpose. God had a plan. Amen. And God's going to provide for them through all that. Amen. And I could go through it. You read the book, I'm telling you, it excites your socks off of you. Amen. Amen. Here's the poem that's in the very first part of that chapter. I want to read it to you, and then I'm going to get on my second point. I'm talking about sometimes it just looks like it's not going to work. Amen? There are supposed failures in God's way. This poem's entitled The Zigzag Path. It says, we climbed the height by the zigzag path and wondered why until we understood it was made zigzag to break the force of the hill. A road straight up would prove too steep for the traveler's feet to tread. The thought was kind in its wise design of a zigzag path instead. It is often so in our daily life we fail to understand that the twisting way our feet must tread by love alone was planned. Then murmur not at the winding way. It is our Father's will to lead us home by the zigzag path to break the force of the hill. Isn't that a blessing? Sometimes, well, in the mountains, some roads are crooked. And the reason they're crooked is because back in the WTA days and things such as that, they didn't have backhoes, they had shovels, amen, and they had wheelbarrows instead of dump trucks, and so they didn't necessarily blast out rocks, although they did blast out some of them, but it didn't take a whole mountain down. They just went around the mountain, amen. And in that zigzag path, sometimes you go a long way to make it to the top, but it's because you couldn't pull it all at one time. And sometimes in our life, I don't understand it exactly, but I know God knows what's best. That's what I'm trying to say. We don't have to understand it. Sometimes He leads us in a way that we don't know, but the purpose is He knows what's best for us. Amen. And if we'll follow Him, we'll still get there where we're supposed to be in the right time. I believe that's right. Amen. Well, there's the seeming false. Number two, there's the shining facts. Amen. The shining facts. The psalmist said, as for God, His way is perfect. Amen. His way is perfect. And then he goes on to say, there in Psalm 18, verse 30, the word of the Lord is tried. Now, that word tried there means proven. That's really what it means. It is proven. God's Word is proven. Amen. Scientists are doing their best to disprove the Bible, but every time they run into a real fact, it proves the Bible. Amen. Because God's Word is true, and God's Word can be tested. Amen. Although we might not always understand the way that God leads, His patterns are set forth in His Word. Amen. God does not lead contrary to His Word. Are you listening to me? Sometimes people said, well, the Holy Ghost told me to do something, and it ain't in line with the Bible. The Holy Ghost is not going to tell you to do something contrary to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost is not going to lead you contrary to the Bible, because the Bible is God's blueprints. Amen. I may not understand how this building was built, but I could, if I could go get the blueprints and look at the blueprints, I'd understand why things are like they are. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes we don't know what's going on in the world, but I'm glad God gave us the divine blueprints right here. And we can read the Word of God, and we can know that the Lord is faithful to His Word, and He's faithful to His people, and we can trust Him with that. Amen. Amen. Not only can we rest assured that God leads according to His blueprints, but we can rest assured that God never twists us nor tries us with more than is absolutely necessary. Amen. He never puts more on us than we need on us. Amen. Amen. He said He'd not put more on us than we can bear. Amen. But with every temptation, He'd make a way of escape. Amen. And so God knows how much pressure we need, how much pressure we can stand, and God only allows that which is needful in our life. Sometimes God has to put more pressure on us than we think is necessary, because He knows what's necessary to break our will. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, the Bible says, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. God's way is always right. That's what I'm saying. And He gave us the divine blueprints. The shining facts are, I can read this Bible and I can see how God led Moses. I can see how God led Abraham. I can see how God led the men of the Bible. And I can say this, God did not hurt one of them. Amen. God did not harm. Hey, you say, well, what about John the Baptist? Got his head cut off. Yeah, but he got the desire of his heart. Amen. He got to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He got to point out the Lord Jesus. His desire was that He might decrease. That Christ could increase. Amen. Amen. And Jesus said, of a man born of woman, there's not one greater than John. Amen. Amen. John was a great man. So you might say, well, God hurt him. He let him die. A lot of martyrs died, but that wasn't hurting to them. That was bringing glory in the long run. Amen. Sometimes we may have to suffer in this life, but what's that compared to eternity of bliss? Amen. Amen. And what's that compared to the fact we ought to suffer for eternity? But by the grace of God, we don't have to. Amen. What God does is right. He'll never do us wrong. Amen. When God moves, He always moves right. When God tries us, He always does right. Amen. He will never move too soon, and He'll never move too late. Amen. Amen. He'll move in the right season because He knows what's best. Amen. I have tried in the past to do some things. My father-in-law is real good at growing blueberries, and he got blueberry plants. Man, I'm telling you, they have these sites come up from them, and you can transplant them. And there's a difference of times. He'd get them for me, and I'd try to put them in the ground, and I would do it at the wrong time, or I'd do it the wrong way. Seemed like always, but he just had the knack because he knew what he was doing. I'm telling you, I've got a Father in heaven that knows exactly what He's doing, and if He must transplant me, He knows the right time, He knows the right season, He knows what He's doing, is the point I'm saying. Amen. Yeah. Amen. He knows exactly what He's doing. He knows best. That's the shining facts. And then last of all, there's the saint's forte. And of course, the word forte means strength. We can gain strength from the fact that we know God's right. He said in Psalm 18, verse 30, the first part, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. So we've got it right there in the word of the Lord. But the last phrase says this. He is a buckler. That word buckler is the idea of being a shield. Amen. To all those that trust in Him. You know where we get our strength from? You know what quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked? It's not the fact that we're so good. It's the fact that we got a God that's so good that we can believe Him. And faith, it is the shield of faith which quenches the fiery darts of the wicked. Isn't that right? And you know why God leads us along the way He does? He's trying to teach us to walk by faith rather than by sight. Amen. He's trying to teach us to trust Him. He's trying to teach us to lean on Him. And when we trust Him and lean on Him, we are shielded from the enemy. Amen. Nothing can get to us that God doesn't allow. Amen. His way is perfect. Amen. All the saints that have come to a full understanding of God's grace agree with the psalmist that His way is perfect. Amen. Amen. When they have crossed that last valley, when they've climbed that last hill, and they've looked back over the path of life, all the saints of God can say, His way is perfect. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Hosea. That's a little bitty book, and you might have just a minute's trouble finding it. But if you will, turn, I want to show you the last verse of the last chapter of the book of Hosea. If you hit Joel, you've gone just a little too far. Back up. Hosea chapter number 14 and verse number 9. This is the last verse of Hosea. I trust, and you know the book of Hosea. You know something about the book of Hosea. Hosea was a prophet of God. God told Hosea to marry a woman who was not a good woman. Amen. And Hosea married her. Now the reason was God was going to show through Hosea's life, He was going to show how God was married to Israel, and Israel was mistreating him. And God was going to show and use Hosea. Hosea loved her right on through it. Matter of fact, Hosea went and bought her back after she'd gone out and committed adultery, after she'd gone out and laid with other men, and possibly even had children that was not his children, because he named one of them not my child. Amen. He went back and bought her, paid the price for her, and treated her like she was something special in spite of all that. You know why? Because God was showing Israel how much He loved Israel, how Israel had done Him so wrong, and yet God still loved them, and God would still pay the price for them. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, Hosea had it rough. By the way, if God make exceptions for everybody else to just write it off and find them another one, why wouldn't He do that for Hosea? Hosea's a pretty good fella. You think God's a respecter of persons? I don't. Amen. I don't mean to get off on that. But Hosea went through it rough. God said, I'm going to teach Israel a lesson by what you've got to go through. Amen. Sometimes we have it rough, and it may be God's teaching somebody else a lesson by what we're having to suffer. Amen. May very well be. But reason I'm at Hosea, the last verse of the last chapter, after Hosea sees it, after he's at the end of it, and he's looking back down the road. Look at the last verse. Who is wise? And this is a question. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. Look at what he said. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Amen. Hosea said, I'm telling you, this ain't the route I would have picked. But God knows what He's doing. That's more or less what He's saying. Amen. Hosea's got the idea that he's saying, you know, I didn't understand it, but now that I've got a little wisdom, now that I can understand some things, he said, I'll have to say God is right. The ways of the Lord is right. How many? All His ways are right. That's the idea that He's got. Amen. Now, you say, but I can't see it. It may be because we've not reached the end. Amen. Look at Joseph. I'll go back to Joseph's life. When Joseph's down there in that pit, his brothers have thrown him in that pit. He's not hauling up there and said, it's okay, fellas. Don't worry too much about me. God means it for good. No, he was begging them to let him out. Judah said, we heard his cries and we rejected his cries. Amen. Judah knew that Joseph was in that pit begging for mercy. You might be in a place you feel like you got to beg for mercy. But I'm telling you, when you get out, you get to the end of it, you'll be able to look back and say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen. When Joseph's down there in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife does what she does. You don't see Joseph. It's all right. Don't worry about it. God means it for good. No, he didn't see it then. When he's in the prison and that butler and the baker come up with their dream, you know what he said? He said, remember me. Hey, I want out of here. That's what he's saying. Amen. He wasn't saying, it's all right, fellas. I'll stay here till I rot. It'll be all right. God means it for good. No. He did not understand it till he got to the end. But when he got to the end, he could look back and then he understood it. Then he could say, I know God knows best. Amen. I'm telling you, you may not know yet. You may not see it yet. But it may be because you're not through it yet. One day you will be through it. Amen. If you turn back, Psalm chapter number 18. I want to show you one thing real quick. I meant to close, but I believe I need to show you this. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 30 is the verse we read. I want you to look back one verse, verse 29, Psalm 18, verse 29. Amen. This is the way David's come. He said, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall." Amen. "For by thee I have run through a troop. Now, one place David said, "I can," or "I could." I believe he said, "I could run through a troop." One place he said, "I could leap over a wall." Right here he said, "I have. I have." Amen. Here's what he's saying. "I've done got through it. I've done got over it. And I'm looking back at it, and I'm saying, you know what? God knew what He was doing all the time He was leading me through. When I didn't know, God knew what He was doing." Amen. Amen. I'm telling you today, you can trust God with your troubles. When it's beyond you and you don't know what's going on, or you can't understand why is this happening, I'm telling you, you can trust God with your troubles. Philippians 1:6, we memorized this when I was a boy. Psalm 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Amen. That's not just talking about eternal security. That is talking about God in your life. If God's leading, if you'll just stay with God. Amen. Stay with God. He'll get out on the other side, you look back and say, "Praise God, He knew what was going on." Amen. He knew what He was doing. Amen. Let's stand all over the house. I'm going to give an invitation time while they're coming with a song. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If God's speaking to your heart, I want to give you the opportunity to come call on the Lord. Maybe you're there in that place that you just don't understand. Maybe you're there in that place that you just can't figure it out. You don't have to figure it out. Just trust God. Amen. You can turn it over to Him. Amen. You can turn it over to Him and say, "Lord, by the way," He didn't fuss at Joseph too much for saying to that butler and that baker, hey, remember me. Sometimes we do want somebody to help us. It's not wrong to ask a brother to pray for you. It's not wrong to have a prayer request. But I'm telling you what, you need to get to the place that you can say, "Lord, I don't understand, but I trust you." Charles Spurgeon said one time, he said, "When you can't trace His hand, you can trust His heart." You can trust Him even when you don't know what's going on. Father, I thank You for the privilege to stand and proclaim these words, that easy preaching and a lot harder living. But Lord, help me to trust You. Teach us, Lord, that our job is just to follow. Teach us, Lord, our job is just to be the sheep. Let You be the shepherd. You're such a good shepherd. You're such a great shepherd. You'll never lead us wrong as long as we'll follow You. Lord, help us just to trust You. Help these with troubles to leave it with You. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, not to get anxious to know the end. We'll know it soon enough when we get to the other side. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. And amen. While we sing, if you need to come, do business with the Lord. 350.